Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 322 of the world's most quarantined podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me again this week, your friend and mine, Jason Linden. How are you, Jason?
Good. Are we too quarantined to be dangerous?
I think so. I hope so. That's the idea, right? To produce the danger.
We're certainly not dangerous to be quarantined. We have good sense.
Exactly. So we are talking, I'm very close to my microphone, but I'm not close to Jason. So I think we're okay, right? I don't know how this thing works.
Okay. As long as you know where your microphone's been.
So not a lot of news, obviously. There's not been any news. We're still waiting to see what's going to happen with the season, but we've got some fun stuff to talk about today anyway. The only real minor piece of news that we really don't need to get too far into because we already talked about it on the podcast. You and I spoke about the possibilities, and I spoke with Doug Gray, and I spoke with Chris Garber about it. We're just rehashing, but Jeff Passan of ESPN said this week essentially that within the week, Major League Baseball is going to offer a proposal to the Players Association to encourage players to prepare for a spring training that could begin in mid-June and a season that could start in early July. Now, I'm not sure anybody believes those dates are going to necessarily stick, but that's kind of going to be the proposal, and they will just be working out the kinks, I guess. So, I don't know. We're still waiting to see, but there's some movement towards at least trying to get specific, which we really haven't seen yet. I guess that's the only news this week.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we won't know anything until we get the players' response because, I mean, this is really one of those things where it's the players are the ones putting themselves at risk, and so it's really is up to the players.
Yeah, I mean, I think the franchises are starting to get really antsy about the money side of it, but you're right, the players have real concerns, and it will be interesting to see what the players' union does, how they respond. So, I don't know. That's it. That's the news for the week. It's been a good episode.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.
So long. There was a little bit of, this is not really news, but Jason and I both kind of followed it. I thought it was pretty interesting. MLB Network did a dream bracket. It was this big championship, a big tournament, March Madness kind of style bracket. And they took the all-time rosters for each team. And Jason, did you see how this thing ended up?
I did. I mean Reds, Yankees in seven.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Clearly the two greatest franchises in baseball history.
For a 1-9 lineups, I think you might be. The thing about it is the Reds lost to the Yankees, as anybody who paid attention knows, in seven games. And I love the Reds, but I don't think anybody can quibble with the fact that the Yankees, if you're putting together an all-time best lineup, have the all-time best lineup, like, period. They've won 20-odd World Series for a reason.
The fact the Reds took it to seven made me happy.
Yeah.
So the Reds had a good roster, though, and you look at it and you realize the Reds really, if you put together these all-time teams for – now, of course, they've been around longer, so they've got more players to choose from, I guess. But it really – what struck me about it, really, and this is just me, this is where my brain goes, is just, man, this franchise has squandered three decades of what's really been a proud history for this club. Two, three generations now are just don't understand.
Yeah.
So the starters on the team, let's go ahead and just run down them real quick. Johnny Bench, catcher, Joey Votto, first base, Joe Morgan, second base, Pete Rose, third base, Barry Larkin, shortstop, George Foster, left field, Eric Davis, center field, Frank Robinson, right field, designated hitter, Ted Klazuski. You got any quibbles with any of those?
I could take minor issues, but no, nothing huge. It's defensible, all of it at least.
How do you put George Foster in left field over Adam Dunn? Dunn did make the Reds' all-time bench on this team, actually. The bench was Ernie Lombardi, Tony Perez, Dave Concepcion, Adam Dunn, Jay Bruce, and Veda Pinson. I don't know how they picked these, but that's a pretty good roster.
That's a pretty good roster. It's a good team. A good team. If I were to quibble, I might put Perez over at third, but otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can quibble big time with the bench. I love Adam Dunn. I would like to have him off the bench, that big left-handed power bat. But Ed Rausch. I mean, there's all kinds of players you can think of.
Yeah.
And I look at this, the starting rotation is kind of, I don't buy this. It's a four-man start.
The rotation was weird.
It was very weird. Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver in the Reds all-time rotation.
Was he on the Mets too? Surely he was. But
I would assume so.
But Seaver was great for the Reds, but is that the guy you pick? Although I like having Tom Seaver, I guess. Jim Maloney?
Yeah.
I mean, Maloney was the Reds' greatest pitcher of the 60s.
The rotation was the thing that I thought was super weird. And yeah, it seemed like there was a really heavy recency bias too.
They also had Mario Soto and Jose Rijo. And, you know, so if I think about guys like Johnny Cueto, who was actually in the bullpen. Who else are we thinking about? Paul Derringer, Eparixi. You know, who's the other guy? Dolph Luque.
Yeah.
I mean, over Jim, of course, Jim Long did throw two no-hitters. I don't know, you know.
I mean, what about Don Gullett, for that matter?
Really? Or Gary Nolan. I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, they were there longer than Seaver.
If we're just talking Red stats, I'd take Don Gullett over Tom Seaver every time.
Yeah, but Tom Seaver's good.
No debate here, but.
Gullett did make the bullpen, actually. I see now. He and Cueto made the bullpen, and I might have swapped one of those for Maloney in the rotation. The other bullpen was John Franco, Rob Dibble, Norm Charlton, Randy Meyer, so all the Nasty Boys, and Aroldis Chapman. So anyway, the Reds went to the finals and defeated the Nationals in the first round. In the Sweet 16, they beat the Pirates in six games. In the Elite Eight, they defeated the Cardinals in seven. And in the Final Four were the Dodgers, Reds, Red Sox, Yankees. I mean, that's perfect. We've just you know, lost a lot more games than those other ones. Well, no, not the Red Sox, I guess.
Yeah, the Red Sox were real bad. I mean, the Red Sox have been really good recently, but they were really bad for a really long time.
Yeah, for just like a century. I mean, you know, everybody can have a bad century. Oh, no. That made me think the Reds may be in for a bad century.
Yeah. You know, you
All right. Enough of that.
Goodness.
I'm going to give Jason a chance to eat some crow and then to gloat now. In episode 319, we held a draft. You remember that draft, Jason? Tell us about that draft.
So the draft was, and this was just kind of my idea for, you know, something to talk about that's fun over the span of, you know, these weird times when there's no baseball going on. And so we drafted. So we're just going to do some random drafts here and there with arbitrary rules put on them. And this last draft was, we each drafted our best post Big Red Machine team. So we started in 1980, and you can only take the stats from 1980. So, you know, any Big Red Machiners, like, you don't get to draft Johnny Bench and get 1972 Johnny Bench. So it was just stats from 1980 forward. We drafted it, and kind of the idea was to then run a simulation and see who had the best team.
And we did run a simulation. We used the same program that they used for the Dream Bracket, Out of the Park Baseball. And the first round, I took Larkin in the first round. You took Votto in the first round. I went on from there. And clearly I had the best team, right?
Hmm.
I mean, we said we were going to do a seven-game series to determine who had the best team.
Seven-game series, 4-1, right, Chad?
Yeah, it turns out that I won the series 4-1. I mean, it was a blowout. I mean, it never was really even close.
It was, what was remarkable to me was watching Joey Votto go like 2-20 or whatever it was.
Yeah, what a first round pick that was, dude.
Yeah, indeed. But then didn't you run 162 games?
Slow down. We don't want to talk about that just yet. Let's dwell on this series first.
Okay, dwell.
Two outs, 2-2 count in game 5. Ken Griffey Jr. hits his second walk-off home run of the series. 4-1 final. Just a dominant, dominant display. And Ken Griffey Jr. was the series MVP. He hit .364 with 4 homers and 9 RBIs. And, you know, the final series stats here. I've got them here, actually. Let me see what Joey Votto did hit. I've got it right here. Oh, man. Oh, he ended up at .286.
Actually, okay, well, he came on a little bit then.
He did, yeah, because he was, like, after game 3, I don't think he even had a hit, maybe. So, he did not have any home runs, though. Your best hitters were Cal Daniels, .438 average, two homers. Bip Roberts, 974 OPS. And Ryan Hannigan, 909 OPS, had a good series. That's about it. Eric Davis was okay. Once again, Reggie Sanders failed in the clutch. Your pitchers were garbage.
Reggie Sanders is a friend of the podcast.
That's true. We love some Reggie Sanders. No question about it. For my team, I said Griffey did well. Larkin had a 13-19 OPS. Brandon Phillips, 1,074. Sean Casey at 1,005 OPS. Hit 400 in the series. Clearly, I picked the best first baseman. I mean, it's obvious at this point. Yeah, I know. Pitching-wise, Riho was great. And that's about all you need to know. Okay, so anyway, yeah, we did that, and I destroyed Jason 4-1.
It's true, you did.
Yeah, so clearly I drafted well. But then, you know, we were like, you know, it'd be fun to just, let's just take these teams and simulate a full 162-game season. And I thought, sure, why not do that?
Why not? After a 4-1 series victory, yes, why not?
Because you would think a team that won 4 out of 5 games is clearly the best team, right? I mean, that makes sense.
No, this is about to be a perfect lesson in the problems of short series.
It really is a beautiful reflection of what we always say every October. If you can just get in the playoffs, who knows who's going to win? At the end of April, Jason's team was 17-11, so they held a 6-game lead over me. I was 11-17. So still, you know, it's just the end of April. Plenty of time to make it up.
Right.
At the end of May, Jason's team was 38-19. So 19-game lead at the end of May.
Keep singing it, Chad. Keep singing it.
Well, you only increased the lead to 25 by the end of June.
Every month can't be a banner month.
A little bit of a swoon. Yeah, and you only increased the lead by 4 at the end of July. So June and July, you know, I was okay. But at the end of July, you were 71-42 and up 29 games.
I mean, you got to let the scrubs play a little bit.
Well, you didn't in August, evidently, because you increased your lead by 17 games. At the end of August, you were 94-48, a 46-game lead. And at the end of the full season, you were 104-58, which meant that I was 58-104.
So you were basically the, like, 1981 Reds.
Yes, pretty much. Yes, that's who my team played. Oh my goodness, it was unbelievable. I kept watching it and I texted Jason brief right after like April or May. I said, "You're going to be really happy with this simulation when you see the end of it."
Yeah. So clearly, I drafted the much better team.
I probably have to concede that point, Jason. It hurts me.
I know it does, but it just confirms what we already know, which is that I'm better than you at all things.
That's true. I agree 100% with that. I can't argue. Kevin Mitchell led all hitters with a 371 average. He was on my team. He also led the league with 39 home runs. My team. But everyone else on the batting average list was on your team. Bip Roberts, 370. Reggie Sanders, 367. Joey Votto with 366. Eric Davis.
Pokey Reese's batting average.
Pokey Reese. Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. You noticed that. I didn't even notice that. Home runs, Mitchell hit 39. Eric Davis hit 32. Adam Dunn, 32. Ken Griffey Jr., 30. You know, I went for that power. And I had my three outfielders I talked about. They're going to mash the ball. They have three of the top four power hitters in the season.
I wonder if the reason so many of my players had such high batting averages is that none of your outfielders could get to anything.
Probably.
Like, I imagine all of the bloop singles just falling in one after another.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they couldn't field anything. The RBI list, you had the top three. Eric Davis had 145 RBIs.
Yes, he did.
Reggie Sanders, 140. Eugenio Suarez, 136. Yikes.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and talk about it, because we mentioned how Votto didn't do well in the short series. He ended up with a 466 on base percentage.
That's my boy.
Kevin Mitchell's 431. Gosh. Let's see what else we had here. Mitchell and Sanders had the highest OPS. Votto was third. Wins above replacement, Joey Votto led with 6.5 wins above replacement, followed by Reggie Sanders and Eric Davis. And Kevin Mitchell, despite having by far the best offensive stats, is only fourth, probably because he couldn't field.
Yeah, you got to catch a ball now and again.
you had a real you had a good strategy there. Guys that can actually play defense. On the pitching side, let's just really quickly. It was a hitter's league. Luis Castillo led the league with a 3.07 ERA, and no one else was under 4.5.
Yeah, Luis Castillo had a great season. Mario Soto, as I recall, was your best pitcher, and what did he go, like 11-12 or something?
Yeah, yeah. Soto did put up 4.5 WAR. Rijo was 4.8. Let me get to the full season stats because there's a couple that are hilarious. By the way, I forgot to mention in our series that I won 4-1, just the dominant performance. John Koutlangas was following along on the Twitter feed as the game went. He was really excited when he struck out Jay Bruce one game. So let's see, Votto was great. Yeah, we already talked about that. Let's get to the pitching. Your pitching, first of all, Shin-Soo Chu pitched an inning.
Gave weird up thing happens sometimes.
Yeah, Shin-Soo Chu pitched an inning and Jay Bruce pitched an inning. Luis Castillo was 18-4. I mean, he was just by far the most dominant pitcher. Does that surprise you a little?
No.
Gosh, really? It surprises me.
I mean, maybe a little, not too much. It's one of those things where it's like, I think Jose Rijo was probably the better pitcher, but I had a better team, so he didn't have to. If he pitched against you all, he probably would have been 18-4 also.
Thank you for that, yes. Greg Swindell, 17-6. Great pick. That was your fifth starter.
Yeah.
Cueto 14-9, Sonny Gray 11-10, Bronson 10-9. Now let's look at the. Oh yeah, and we forgot to talk about. There he is. He played 111 games, got 434 at bats. Pokey Reese hit .378 with a .419 on base percentage. Pokey Reese hit .378.
It was magical.
Well, it must have been my pitchers because...
And the flip side of that is poor Tom Browning.
That's where I was going. With my pitching, now let's note that Hal Morris, Billy Hamilton, and Tucker Barnhart all pitched for me. And Tom Browning did not pitch for me. Tom Browning was 2-23 with a 10.57 ERA. 2-23.
That is not real good.
You think?
Yeah, I do think.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, Mario Soto was 11-12. My boy Koutlangas had an 11.01 ERA, which was, Browning was almost as bad. Charlton had a 10.2 ERA. Goodness gracious. Reds had one player. My team had one player with a 0 ERA. Hal Morris. Okay, so I am prepared, Jason, to concede that if we were drafting for a 7-game series, then I did really well, but I will have to concede that you drafted a better team.
That's right. I'm the best. That's the important thing to know.
Oh, gosh. I hate everything right now. Oh, my goodness. So, Jason's back on the podcast again tonight, and we are going to have another draft. And hopefully we'll get to, I'll do better, number one. And number two, hopefully we'll get to simulate this one as well. But I thought it would be fun. The Reds have not been really good since they started playing at Great American Ballpark in 2003. So I thought it would be fun. Let's pick the two best teams. You could pick one team pretty easily as I got to looking at these stats. But let's pick two teams, the best players.
And it's going to be interesting.
Some of these positions are going to be tough.
Yeah.
To find two players, frankly. So... we're going to do it the same way we did last time. We'll take turns. I picked first last time, so I'll let you pick first this time, in which you will pick the exact same person you picked in the last draft.
I mean, it's fairly obvious.
Right. But
Snake draft, I assume, still.
What's that? Snake?
Still snake draft, I assume.
Snake draft. Just players from 2013 to 2019.
2003.
That's what I said. 2003 to 2019 or 2020, essentially, I guess. You can pick somebody on 2020, same if you want Shogo Akiyama. That's fine. Oh, interesting. Should we take Moustakas or...
And I do feel like we should clarify this. Do we get pre-2003 stats, or is it the same as the post-Big Red Machine? It's got to be from 2003 onward.
I think it has to be from 2003 onward.
All right.
I think that's the way we need to do it.
So I agree. I just wanted to make sure.
Just the players who have played at Great American Ballpark during the time they were playing at Great American Ballpark. So, and then, when, you know, we're going to take one for each position, and then what did we do last time? Five starting pitchers?
Yeah, and a closer.
And a closer. Okay. All right, so you're on the clock, Jason. Quickly put me on the clock, please.
The Lindens select Joey Votto.
Joseph Daniel Votto, the number one overall selection. And you're right, that's a pretty obvious one, right?
Absolute no-brainer. I'm interested because there are a number of ways I feel like you could go with the second and third picks here. So I'm interested to hear what you've got.
Yeah, it's really unclear at most of these spots. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go pitching.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do if I got numbers two and three.
Yeah, I'm going to go Johnny Cueto and Luis Castillo.
All right. I think that is a good and strong call. And also, I note you all of a sudden being a lot more bullish on Luis Castillo.
Yeah, you notice that?
I do. I do notice that.
There are good players at all the other positions, the everyday positions, but I'm not sure that anyone's of the quality of these two pitchers, Cueto and Castillo. And also, you know, at some of these positions, there are two guys you can take. You know, I mean, if we're talking just Reds time, I think there's going to be some interesting choices. So you now have your second round choice.
All right. I'm going to take Aaron Harang and Sonny Gray.
Ah, so you're going pitching as well.
You got to do it now before it's all gone.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so it's back to me. Still, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. And really, there's really probably only one other. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're talking just Reds. Oof, I don't know. You know who I'm going to go with here? Joey Votto. Is he still available? Can I take Joey Votto?
He is not still available.
Then I'm going to do this. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm going with Adam Dunn.
All right.
I'm going with Adam Dunn. I'm such a sucker. I'm such a freaking sucker.
You are a freaking sucker.
Good grief. I'm a Tootsie Roll Pop over here, man. I don't even know what that means. But I'm just going to take. I'm going to take him. And you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to go crazy again. You're going to destroy me. Do you know which pitcher? And of course, now pitching war, especially at Baseball Reference, is a little bit hinky. But which pitcher had the best individual season for the Reds in the Great American Ballpark era?
You're going to take Edinson Volquez.
It was not Edinson Volquez.
Well, I don't know then. Who are you going after?
The best single season wins above replacement was 6.8 WAR in 2006 by Bronson Arroyo.
All right, I can respect Bronson.
Yeah, I'm going to take Bronson. I mean, you know, and when you're looking at pitching in Great American Ballpark, it's kind of thin. And so I'm going to go ahead and grab him before you take him too. So you have two picks now.
All right, for my next two picks, I am going to take Brandon Phillips.
I was hoping for some reason that you would forget about Phillips or something, because I really probably should have taken him.
And I'm going to take Shin-Soo Choo.
Oh, Shin-Soo Choo, yes. Because again, we're looking at just Red's numbers. He's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, there you go. That's pretty good. I'm going to go. Boy,
it's starting to get thin now.
Starting to get a little thin. I'm going to take Gino.
Okay.
Eugenio Suarez, and then
this time,
what's that?
You got Gino this time.
Yeah, you went Gino last time. It kind of surprised me a little bit, and he ended up being really, really good. I got two I'm choosing from here. I'm going to go Jay Bruce.
Okay. Respectable.
Yeah. Trying to go with positions where you haven't selected, really, is my strategy there, which worked for me so well on the last draft.
All right. It's to me now.
While you're looking and thinking here, let me just break it down. We each have three position players. I have Eugenio Suarez, Adam Dunn, and Jay Bruce. Jason has Joey Votto, Brandon Phillips, Shin-Soo Chu. I got to say, I hate to admit it, but that's an edge to Jason probably right now.
Obviously.
I know. That's inevitable. And I have three pitchers to his two. I've got Johnny Cueto, Luis Castillo, Bronson Arroyo to his Aaron Harang and Sonny Gray. Have to say, I probably have the edge there.
Yeah, so, I think for the moment.
For the moment.
I'm staring at outfielders right now, and it's it's getting to be slim pickings, Chad.
It is slim pickings. Let me trivia time, okay? Out of Reds right fielders in the Great American Ballpark era, if you look at just individual seasons, who are the top five individual seasons? Which players? Now, one player had more than one of these seasons, but I'll say Jay Bruce had four of the top seven. Who are the other three in the top seven?
Okay, so we've got Bruce, right?
Yeah.
Did Guillen play right?
Jose Guillen, yes. And I use played at least 50% of their games as kind of the marker at that position. So
Griffey was in right for a little bit. Does he get there?
He did not. Well, he's 18th on the list. Behind a bunch of Jay Bruce seasons.
Did Hamilton play right?
Who?
Josh Hamilton.
I don't see him. No, he's not on the list. He must not have played at least 50% of his games there.
Kearns?
Austin Kearns. One of Austin Kearns' seasons. And who's number seven on the list?
Schebler?
Aristides Aquino.
Oh, my.
That's how bad right field's been other than Jay Bruce. So, anyway, go ahead, make your pick.
All right. I might have to hold on the outfield for a minute because it's one of those things of diminishing returns, so there's no point in going there right now.
Yeah, you got Chu, which is a great one.
Yeah, I got Shin-Soo Chu, and the rest of everything is pretty much just scraps, frankly.
It is.
I'm gonna go pitching again.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna grab Mike Leake.
Ooh, good call. Good call. Could have sworn you were going to go with our guy.
Who is our guy?
Dylan Axelrod. You act like you don't even know me.
Sometimes I wonder how we've met.
What about Kyle Loesch? You going to take him next? Is that your next pick?
God, who is my next pick?
I'm going to give you some suggestions while you're thinking, so ignore me. Luke Hudson? Ooh, Matt Harvey?
You know what? I'll take Disco.
You know, that's really a solid choice, to be honest.
Yeah.
He has had a better career than people realize, hasn't he?
Yeah. All right. Your turn, Chad.
All right. I'm going to go. I think I know who I'm going to go here. And one may leave you with the guy you really want at that position. I don't know. I'm going to take Devin Mesoraco. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, not too much.
And then I think I'm going to go. Boy, I'm tempted to take Jose Iglesias at shortstop. Sorry, that's a running joke. I'm going to go Zach Cozart.
Yeah, that was the. Yeah.
I was tempted to go Felipe Lopez there. I mean, you know, in his short career, he was pretty good with the Reds, but yeah, you got to go Zach, I think.
All right, so I'm strategizing here mentally.
You only have three. Just to recap for everybody, you only have three position players so far: Votto, Phillips, and Chu. First base, second base, center field. So all that's out there for you.
Yeah. I think I've got to go outfield now. I feel like at this point, I'm going to take because at least this way you don't get one more ahead of me. And we're still doing the positional thing. So Chu is locked into center field, correct?
Yes.
I need corner outfielders. I think I'm going to take Austin Kearns.
Let me say, in our last draft, you can take that back if you want the Kearns pick. We did say, if you can make a case they played some significant amount of time, at that position. Because remember, I moved Kevin Mitchell to right field, which was a horrible idea defensively. Yeah. So you can go with Kearns if you want. I just wanted to add that. That's the way we did it last time. If you're wanting to pick a different outfielder, and I think I know who you might be thinking about.
God, there's so many. It's just all of them is one of those, like, they're I don't know that there's a right or a wrong answer here. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there's a wrong answer.
There are many wrong answers.
Jason Bourgeois. I mean, that's a wrong answer.
I'm gonna go two outfielders. I'm gonna round out my outfield. I'm gonna stick with Kearns. I might regret it. I'm gonna stick with it.
Okay. No, I think that's fine. Kearns had a good career with the Reds. People don't realize it.
He's gonna be my right fielder, and my left fielder is gonna be the Wink.
Oh, interesting. I didn't see that one coming, but I love it.
He can hit. People still don't understand how much he can hit.
People really don't know. But you and I have been banging that drum for so long. I thought you might go Lance Nix left field.
No.
No? Vladimir Ballantyne, no?
I'll tell you, there are some I thought about. I thought about Hamilton. Thought about taking Friel as an outfielder.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else is out there, really? Adam Duvall. I mean, you know, he had a couple good decent years. Boy, it's kind of thin in our outfield, isn't it? I like the Winker pick. That's an upside pick. Okay.
Chad.
Two to me. I'm going to go with... Oh, mercy. Do I dip into the bullpen at this point? I think I do. I'm going to take Aroldis Chapman. Although he's not, you know, I mean, there are other good choices for that. Rosell Iglesias really is and David Weathers. Those are really the two I was considering.
No Coco?
Coco? Better than David Weathers? Come on, get out of here.
All right, so you've got Chapman.
Yeah, and now I'm going to go starting pitcher. Who do I go here? Starting pitcher. Boy. Here's who I'm considering, okay? Homer Bailey.
All right.
Edinson Volquez. I think you have to consider him. He had a great 2008 season. Matt Latos. You know, Matt Latos 2012, 2013 was pretty good. I mean, I don't have to deal with him in an actual clubhouse. This is virtual Matt Latos, so, you know. Man, I wish DeSclafani were still out there. Gosh. Tim Adelman? Eric Milton? Daniel Corsino?
Brandon Clausen?
Corey Lytle?
You know, the thing about Brandon Clausen is that he always got you in a pickle.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Jason. This is it right here. That's how you know Jason's a dad. You don't have to know anything about Jason. You hear that sentence, you know he's a dad. That's dad joke extraordinaire.
I really am.
Hey, you know what Trevor Bauer's wins above replacement was just for Cincinnati last year?
Like negative 0.5.
It was exactly negative 0.5. Yikes. I think, and I maybe regret this, I think I'm going to go Homer Bailey.
All right.
So that's my two. Back to you for two picks.
So we've taken one at every slot, so now I can just go down the line.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and do the bold choice that I had kind of thought about in terms of my number two pick if I didn't get my number one pick here. And it's gonna be at third base and people are not gonna see it coming, but I'm gonna take Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen. I did not see that coming.
I'm going to have some veteran leadership on my team.
And you're also going back with the defense. Yikes. Yeah.
And I'm going to take Ryan Hannigan at catcher.
Okay.
Who was my top choice? You're correct.
Yeah. You know, I went with the bat. Again, I default to the bat with Mesoraco, but I thought you might be pleased when I picked him because that would leave that position open for you.
I got no complaints.
Okay. So back to me, two picks. Oh, mercy. You know what I'm going to do?
What you going to do?
I'm going to pull the trigger on Matt Latos. Sheesh, I got Matt Latos, Aroldis Chapman. Yikes. And then I'm going to go first base. And at first base, I'm going to take, I mean, who are you choosing from here? Basically, you got Sean Casey, a couple of years of Sean Casey. You have Scott Hatteberg, you know, a couple of years. That's it. Unless you want to go for Jeff Conine. Do you know Jeff Conine played at Great American Ballpark?
I completely forgotten that.
Neftali Soto. Ooh, Miguel Cairo.
Ooh, I remember Miguel Cairo. Everybody likes Miguel Cairo.
That's true. He's a good guy. Mike Costanzo. T-Bone. I guess I go Sean Casey. I mean, that's the way our first baseman ended up on the other team, wasn't it? Casey.
I mean, well, you gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you gotta take Casey. So, all right, back to you. You have, here's what you have available. Shortstop, one starting pitcher slot, and your closer.
Right. So it's short. I've decided to go with another bold pick. And this is, I'm really looking at rate stats and defense. And, you know, as opposed to like games played, which can be deceptive about WAR. I'm going to take Barry Larkin.
Oh, gosh. I was getting ready to offer you Zach Cozart in exchange for letting me take this pick.
Yeah.
Because I just noticed that Larkin played in 2003.
Yes, he did.
I've completely missed that. He played at Great American Ballpark in 03 and 04. Oh, my goodness. And he wasn't great, but he was Barry Larkin.
He was pretty good when he was healthy, yeah.
Yeah.
Above average, just slightly above average, yeah.
Yeah, at age 39 and 40. I mean, that guy's a Hall of Famer. Oh, how did I miss that?
I don't know how you missed it, Chad. It's just one of many mistakes that you've made.
Oh my goodness. I thought for sure you were gonna take Cesarius Torres. Oh, that so hurts me. That hurts me.
I need a closer and one more starter, right?
Yes, that's what you've got available.
All right. I want a moment to ponder my final starter, so I'll take Iggy from my closer.
Rosell Iglesias, which is I think the clear second closer. Okay, so now it's back to me. I have two picks here. All I have open are second base and center field, so we'll take them in that order. Second base, I think we're going to go Scooter here. The other people that we're thinking about would be D'Angelo Jimenez, who people forget had a really good 04 season. I think you could, and he had a pretty good 03 as well, frankly. You could justify Ryan Friel at second base. You know, you could maybe justify Rich Aurelia, who played more than half his games at second base for the Reds in 05.
Yeah, Aurelia was somebody I thought about if I didn't get Phillips at second.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Scooter here. I think that's kind of a safe choice. He was good. He was not what everybody thought he was, but he was good. Center field. I already took Adam Dunn. Do I take my other guy, Billy Hamilton, here? You know?
I mean, it would be nice to have somebody to catch a ball out there.
Well, Jay Bruce was a pretty good fielder, so I've only got one Adam Dunn. He's my only defensive.
I mean, choices in center are Hamilton, really.
Really? Not Junior?
I mean, I guess, but that's not good, Junior.
Well, no, but he did have 3.7 wins above replacement in 05, playing more than half his games in center.
I suppose that's true. If you take just one season, he did have some not great seasons.
Right. Yeah, a lot of not great seasons. He's way down the list on his other ones. So it's Hamilton, it's Griffey, it's the other Hamilton. I'm going to go for youth and potential here. I'm going to go Josh Hamilton.
Ho, ho, ho.
Over Griffey and Billy Hamilton, the comic book superhero. Man, what am I thinking here?
I don't know.
Once again, I think I've screwed this up completely as right. I look down my list.
You ready for my fifth starter? I found it. I've made my decision.
Okay, let me go through some guys that may be in the mix here, and you can let me know if one of these is who you picked. Here's the guys that I see as kind of being in the mix. Dan Straley, surprisingly, and that's it. I don't know who else. Who are you thinking?
Travis Wood.
Oh my goodness, Travis Wood. Travis Wood was good as a Red. Again, he got traded away to the Cubs, but
his basically one and a bit of a season for the Reds. He was an above average starting pitcher.
He was, yeah.
Very solid, yeah.
Good lefty, and that's the only lefty you've got in your rotation, looks like. So that's good. I have zero lefties. He's the only lefty starting pitcher that got taken. Goodness gracious.
Feeling pretty good about this again, Chad, I have to say.
I bet Johnny Cueto could throw left-handed if he tried.
I never doubt Johnny Cueto's ability to do anything.
Okay.
Let's
run these down. Here's my team. Catcher, Devin Mesoraco. First base, Sean Casey. Second base, Scooter Jeanette. Third base, Eugenio Suarez. Shortstop, Zach Cozart. Left field, Adam Dunn. Center field, Josh Hamilton. Right field, Jay Bruce. I like that lineup. That's not a bad lineup for the Great American Ballpark All-Stars. Starting pitchers, Johnny Cueto, Luis Castillo, Bronson Arroyo, Homer Bailey, and Matt Latos. My closer, Aroldis Chapman. Now, do you want to go run through your lineup or you want me to do it?
You can do it.
Okay. Catcher, Ryan Hannigan. Well, you're really going on base percentage with this lineup. I love it. First
That's
base.
The way I do.
Yeah. Really, really, really smart. First base, Joey Votto. Second base, Brandon Phillips. Third base, Scott Rowland out of nowhere. I don't know why I didn't consider him. Shortstop, Barry Larkin. Oh my gosh, I'm still upset about that. Left field, Jesse Winker. Now that's kind of a reach. Center field, Shin-Soo Chu. Easy for me to say. Right field, Austin Kearns. Starting pitchers, Aaron Harang, Sonny Gray, Mike Leake, Anthony DeSclafani, and Travis Wood. And your closer, Razel Iglesias. I'll be honest, and let me know what you think about these two teams, Jason. I was concerned that as bad as the Reds have been for most of the time at Great American Ballpark, we wouldn't be able to put together two actual teams. And I don't know, that looked like two reasonably competent teams, you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think they look like two reasonably competent teams. It's, you know, it's interesting to see, too, though, to look at this and see, like, how many either short stints or, wow, that guy got hurt kind of seasons there are.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately, and it kind of underlines the fact that there's been potential at times. It just hasn't been realized. I do have to say, I think that this is a much more even match than the last one was. I think I wouldn't be surprised in a full simulation if we came awfully close to 500 here.
Oh, I hope you say that, because in the last time you said you thought you were going to go 90-72 in the full and you ended up going 150-12 or something.
Well, so I guess this time I'll actually go 90-72.
Probably. I'm looking at this, and I think I've got the best rotation, I believe. I feel comfortable with that. I think you probably have a slight edge, or maybe more than a slight edge, in terms of your offense. But it says something about the Reds, I think, that our center fielders are Josh Hamilton and Shin-Soo Chu.
Yeah.
You know?
I think if I'm being honest, I think you definitely have the better rotation. I have the better infield. And I think the outfields are kind of a wash.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, your infield is clearly superior, I think. Votto, Phillips, Rowland, and Larkin. That's a pretty good infield. Oh, man, you got me on the Larkin pick. I noticed him like right before you said that.
There are three players in my infield who will or should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the one that's not is Brandon Phillips, who had an awfully good Reds career.
Yeah.
Yeah, my infield has two that are Reds Hall of Famers, and Sean Casey and Eugenio Suarez eventually be Reds Hall of Famers. And then Scooter, he may be. You never know with that Reds Hall of Fame voting. And Zach Cozart. Eesh. Okay, anyway. Quickly, you want to try to do the benches? We did that off-air last time. Benches and bullpens?
Whew, all right, okay.
All right, let's try to do that quickly, and I'll... I don't know who we are, where we are, so I'll just give you...
Well, I'll take a pick. It's me, and then you get two, and then I get two, and
okay.
So on.
All right. You want to just do bench first and then do bullpens? That's the way I think we did it last
time.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Okay.
First pick on my bench, I'm going to take Ryan Friel.
All right, Ryan Friel. Now let's think about how do we do this. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 players so far. So we need 11 more. I think we picked... six bullpen and five bench. Is that right?
Five bench players and six bullpen.
All right. So you're going with Ryan Friel.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, on my bench, I'll take two. I'm going to go with Todd Frazier.
Good pick.
And I'm going to go with Felipe Lopez. Because he can play.
Nice. Nicely done.
Shortstop and second.
That's a good backup shortstop.
Yes.
All right. I am going to take David Ross for my backup catcher.
Good call. You did that on our last draft.
Stick with what works, my friend.
It did work, you son of a... Stick
with what works. And...
so... yeah, really. There's not a lot out there, man.
I'm looking at the infielders. Let me look at the outfielders, Lord. I'll take Drew Stubbs.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. Good late-inning defensive replacement, a little bit of pop off the bench.
A little speed.
Oh, and that's your two. Okay, that's back to me. I thought you had another one coming. Okay, I'm going to go. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Billy.
I thought you might.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Billy, and then I'm going to go with, let's see, I've got Frazier Lopez. Backup, and they can play all four backup infield spots. So I think I'm going to go with King Griffey Jr.
Nice.
Another outfielder. He'll come off the bench. So you have your last two bench selections. Man, Friel is really the best pick of all of them. And
yeah, because he can play everywhere.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Oh, you know who I'm going to take?
Yes, Jeff Kepinger.
I'm going to take Jose Guillen.
Oh, Jose Guillen, yes. Great pick. Great pick.
That'll be my second backup outfielder, and I need somebody who can play short now. I mean, I guess Friel technically can play short, but he's really more of a second base, third base guy.
Right. Yeah, you probably need somebody who can play some short. But who is that? I mean, look, it's... I mean, you're talking like Jose Peraza. Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Kepinger, Yanish.
Let's just go ahead and go with Jose Iglesias.
Oh, you did it. You did it.
I did.
You did it. He okay. can play short. What's that?
He can play short. Let's be real. He's not playing over Larkin.
That's right. And defensively, he can play short. No question about it. Never argue with that. So my last pick is going to be Tucker Barnhart.
Good call.
Because I needed a backup catcher. Feel like he's the best available. Although I could have gone with LaRue, like Jason LaRue, like I did in the last draft. Didn't work out too well for me. Okay,
all right. Now, you get the first reliever pick here.
First bullpen pick, and we're going straight bullpen guys, not leftover starters, I guess.
Right.
So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Jared Hughes.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Did Hughes have a particularly good run for me? Trying to copy my
message. Yes, you did very well with Jared Hughes last draft. So you have two relievers here.
All right, I am going to take you got to scan a little bit here.
Yeah, I know. It's
you got to be prepared to be unconventional at times. But there's really not that much unconventional to be, if we're being honest, looking at this.
It's really, yeah.
I'm going to take Lorenzen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take Nick Massett.
Nick Massett, the ever-injured Nick Massett. Yeah, I can live with that. Okay, I've got two coming here. I'm going to go with... Boy, the Reds bullpen's really not been very good, has it? I'm going to go with Coco Cordero.
Yeah, that was going to be it was Cordero or Massett for me.
And boy, do you know which relief pitcher's thrown the most innings pitch out of the bullpen for the Reds since they moved into the Great American Ballpark?
I do, but only because I'm staring at it.
Okay, well then I'll let you.
One Mr. David Weathers.
David Weathers. Boy, I hate to do it. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go David. Oh, my gosh. I really did not like David Weathers when he was a Red. This bullpen, the Reds bullpen has been garbage. Oh, my goodness. This is ridiculous. Okay, two to you. You have four relief pitchers still to pick.
All right. I'm going to take Amir.
Oh, man. Amir. That's a good one. I like it.
And, you know, this is really, I'm just going off one season, but boy, it was a nice season. I'm going to take Sean Marshall.
Sean Marshall. You have Sean Marshall and Nick Massett, the two most injured Reds relievers in history.
Well, you know, again, not a plethora of options here, my friend.
You're right. You're right. I'm going to go Arthur Rhodes.
Wow. Deep cut right there.
That's, you know it, man. Arthur Rhodes and... Sam LaCure. So I've got one reliever left. Here's your last two picks. Go ahead and take them.
Yeah, LaCure is a good one. I was kind of hoping to snag LaCure, but you beat me to him there. That's a good pick.
Yeah, there's one more out there that I think might be okay for you. There may be two that I see that are... again, we're really getting deep into the weeds here.
We are very, very, very deep into the weeds.
I know. Here's some of the ones that I think you should consider selecting. Scott Schoenweiss, Dylan Floro. Let's see here. Who else we got? Zach Duke.
I remember Zach.
Yeah. Logan Andrusek.
Oh, Logan.
Yeah. Jose Arredondo. Burke Badenhop. Boy.
All right. Here, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
You're going Lane Sampson.
No, I'm going to go Bill Bray.
Solid lefty. I have zero lefties in my bullpen. No, I got Arthur Rhodes. He's a lefty.
And I'm going to go... It's easiest to just go like one season guys at this point. You know what? I'm going to do one pick that's just purely a heart pick. You ready for it?
I am ready. Let's hear it.
Give me Jumbo.
Jumbo Diaz. Nice. And so we come to the final draft pick, Mr. Irrelevant, although I don't think he's irrelevant. I'm going to take him again. John Koutlangas. You got to go with John Koutlangas.
Your boy. He's your boy.
That's right. All right. So there we go. We have our teams. I will post that on Twitter, and we will, whenever I get a moment, I will do some simulation of a 7-game series and then also a full 162-game series so Jason can embarrass me again. Follow us at Red Leg Radio on Twitter.com to see that. You feel pretty good about your team?
I do, though. Again, I think last time I was like, I clearly have the better team. This time I'm like, but it also might just be the lack of choices in general.
Yeah. I think this one could be a lot... I think it's going to be a lot closer, but I thought last one would be close. Although I got to admit that I felt like after the draft, I felt like you'd gotten me last time. I didn't think you got me by that much.
Yeah.
But so anyway, you want to answer a few viewer mail, then we'll get out of here. Jason.
Yeah, I'll send a few viewer mail questions. A
few viewer mail. All right. First one comes from our guy, Joe Farsing, who always seems to get under the wire with the first question, but he doesn't have a silly question this week. He says, and this is at patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can support this crazy pirate ship. No silly choice questions this week. Give me your best starting lineups and rotations of all time, all teams included. All right, that's a long one.
That's a whole podcast.
That's a whole podcast, and I love that. I love that question, and I really, truly do want to answer it, but we wasted too much time. Joe, yeah. I'm going to ask you to the next time Jason's on the podcast to submit that question again, because that's a fun one, actually. We'll start at catcher and take Johnny Bench, and it'll go on from there. You know, you could probably make a case to have two Reds on the best starting lineup, and if you're picking the best starting lineup and rotation. So we're talking, you know, eight starting players and five pitchers. You probably got two Reds in there, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe not for sure. I mean.
Oh, I don't think there's any question, Bench and Morgan.
I mean, I think you can make an argument for, you know, Rogers Hornsby.
Yeah,
at second base. No, I wouldn't. I agree, but I'm biased, you know. So, okay, so Joe, I love the question. We are going to try to answer it at some point. Submit it again. Next question comes from our guy Hooper Powell. Hooper asks, do you see teams using a six-man rotation with the larger proposed rosters? Also, if it's a 100-game season, over-under for the Redlegs. So first question, do you see teams using a six-man rotation with the larger proposed? Because with the however the season's going to be, there, one of the proposals evidently, and we don't really know, is that they may have more roster spots, which you would think would make the Players Association more likely to agree to a deal if they got more big league spots. But I can't see teams using a six-man rotation. Can you?
I could imagine it, but who knows? But I can see it.
Maybe. I mean, I guess it depends on whether or not you feel like your better starters are fully stretched out and capable of actually pitching. But I think you want your at least your first top three guys to be going as often as possible if you can. Yeah.
So it depends really on how stretched out and ready everybody is. I could see a six-man early in the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, in regular seasons, there are those off days early where you skip guys in the rotation, and they won't have very many off days, I imagine, because they're starting so late, they're going to try to get as many games in as possible. Hooper's second question, if it's a 100-game season, over-under for the Redlegs. 100-game season is optimistic, but let's say that they figure out some way to do a 100-game season, Jason. What's the over-under for the Redlegs?
55 wins.
55?
Yeah.
55. Okay, I was going to say 95. That may be optimistic, too.
Might be a little optimistic.
I think 55 is fair. I mean, I think that's probably going to put you close to the playoffs.
I think so, too. I mean, the Reds are supposed to be in the hunt, so.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think I'm going to go with 55 as well. Once again, Jason is absolutely correct. Rich Thompson, my guy from William & Mary, the College of William & Mary. If you could have been an extra or had a cameo in any baseball movie, what movie would it have been? That's his first question. If you could have been an extra or had a cameo in any baseball movie, what movie would it have been? I think my answer is probably I'd be one of the random guys walking out of the cornfield in Field of Dreams.
See, I would, even though it's not my favorite baseball movie by any stretch, it would be fun to be one of the like hecklers in the stands of Major League.
Yeah. I thought about that one.
Yeah.
And I could actually fit in, and they could actually show me actually playing baseball, and it could be like, oh, yeah, this guy's awful. Just like, you know, all of the other guys, because I was not good at baseball. So, all right, so Major League, that's a good one. Additionally, is there a particular scene that you would have liked to have had your 3 to 5 seconds of fame in? So I'm assuming he's asking a particular scene in the – oh, you've already basically said one of those ones where the idiots are out there heckling.
Yeah.
For me, if I had a particular scene I would have liked to have been in – No, I can't think of one. I want to walk out of that cornfield. So any of the scenes where you're walking out of a cornfield. So I don't know. Rich Brown at patreon.com/redlegradio says, first, I want to give you guys kudos on the Building the Machine podcast. Really been enjoying it. Being born in 1987, I'd only heard stories. Since being on quarantine, I've went back and YouTubed all the Big Red Machine World Series as well as the 1990 World Series. So the good thing out of coronavirus, maybe the only thing good thing, is that it deepened my red leg passion and knowledge. That's good, Rich. And thank you for the kind words. If you all haven't listened to the Building the Machine podcast, it's where Bill Lack and I are going through the whole Big Red Machine era and kind of discussing how that team was built and doing kind of a deep dive. And every Monday, new episodes posted. 1976 will be coming up this Monday. Now, his second question here is, why is Davey Concepcion not in the Hall of Fame? I've researched his numbers compared to other shortstops like Ozzie Smith, for example. And why is George Foster's number not retired with the Reds? Those are his two questions. So let's go with both of those. Why is Davey Concepcion not in the Hall of Fame? My answer is, I hate to say it, but his numbers really don't compare to the other shortstops in the Hall of Fame. You have thoughts about Concepcion?
Yeah, the same deal. I mean, he's kind of the classic Hall of Very Good guy.
Yeah, and I loved him. You know, growing up, he was the one link to the Big Red Machine after I started really following the team.
Yeah.
But
it's not quite there. Yeah, I think he gets – I don't want to say this because by all accounts, he's a delightful human being. But I think his presence on the Big Red Machine causes him to be very slightly overrated.
And I think also that – frankly, when he was the best shortstop in the league during his time, so you'd think that's a Hall of Famer. That's the argument you can make for him, because he really was pretty much the best shortstop in the league or one of the top two, which sounds like a Hall of Famer, but it was a really, really bad era for shortstops. If you look at the JAWS Hall of Fame system, and if you don't know what the JAWS system is, it's Jay Jaffe's, he's a sabermetrician, basically. And he developed this system to determine, you know, whether you have a good chance at the Hall of Fame. And the average Hall of Fame shortstop has 67.5 career wins above replacement. Concepcion had 40.1. I mean, that's way below. Concepcion's peak was right at 30. His seven-year peak was right at 30 wins above replacement. The average Hall of Fame shortstop, 43.1. So, you know, that system rates Concepcion as the 46th best shortstop of all time, which is amazing. That's great. Probably not a Hall of Famer, though. I hate to say it. I feel like I'm being disloyal, Jason.
Yeah, it's tough, but you're right. And, you know, to then sort of transition into the why is Foster's number not retired is, it's kind of the same deal. He just, you know, if he played his whole career for the Reds, you might see his number retired. Maybe, but, you know, really, you know, not quite a Hall of Fame level player. A really good player. Had definitely his best years with the Reds, but then didn't really do much outside of his time with the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, MVP, that's a big thing. But yeah. Do you retire every MVP's number? I mean, you know, Joey Votto may get his number retired. I don't know. Ernie Lombardi won MVP. I don't know. Foster just, I think that retiring numbers, this is my opinion in every sport, should be a very rare thing.
I concur wholeheartedly.
I mean, we're talking about the best. You're literally taking that number out of circulation. The best of the best. And Foster was great. I just, especially in, you know, 76, 77, 78. I mean, he really was legitimately. He finished in the top six of the Hall of the MVP voting in each of those 3 years, 76, 77, 78. I mean, he was as good as anyone in baseball at that time. But that was, you know, it was a short peak. I can't see it. I can't see retiring that number. But if you want to, you think Votto's number will get retired, Jason? Just since I mentioned
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame too, but which will pretty much guarantee it. But yeah, I do think so.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for anyone that's in the Hall of Fame having their number retired. And I guess that's with the Reds. Well, Ted Klazuski's number is retired. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, if Clue is retired, then Votto's got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Someone asked me that question on Twitter. When did, because I mentioned something about Clue. When did Votto overtake him? And I thought, well, as you know, in terms of Reds' career, 2010 probably, when he won his MVP. I mean, you know, that's not a criticism of Clue, right?
No. It's just that Joey was just Joey.
Joey is Joey. Last question comes again from our guy Joe Forrest, and we'll answer this one. He asked, do either of you know how to cut hair? I feel like a hippie.
I am a hippie, and I still need a haircut.
You made the joke I was going to make. I was actually going to say that. Jason is actually an actual authentic hippie. But you don't know how to cut hair, clearly.
I do not know how to cut hair.
I do not know how to cut hair. I do also do not know how to keep hair from falling off the top of my head.
So, Joe, you're on your own.
You're on your own, Joe. Let me just tell you, when my son was younger, we'd be wrestling around on the floor. And one time he was kind of crawled on my back and he said, he was probably, I don't know, 5-6 years old. He said, Dad, your hair's falling off. That wasn't very nice. Your hair's falling off. Oh, gosh. I've never forgiven him. All right, Jason, any final thoughts for us? We need to call this one a show.
Let's see how this goes. I'm excited to see the next simulation.
I'm worried. I'm very, very worried. Okay, so you can follow us at redlegnation.com, where we're talking about the Reds every day. Follow Jason at Jason Linden on Twitter. I'm at Dotson C. We're at Red Leg Radio on Twitter. Go follow us if you aren't already. I'm sure you already are. But if you're not, go follow us, because we'll be doing a simulation to see if Jason can lose in the 7-game series once again. You can download the podcast wherever you find podcasts. We're at all those places. I won't go into them all again. You can support us at patreon.com/redlegradio if you wish. Jason, always good talking to you, buddy.
Always a good time, Chad.
For Jason Linden and John Koutlangas, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone. Go.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.